Welcome to today's fellowship-wide call titled The Path to Solvency. This call is presented by DA's Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. What is spiritually sustainable earning? What does that look like? We have found that the topic continues to be an interactive discussion, much in the same way that the topic of debting can often be very personal to each debtor and reasoned out with a sponsor. The Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus, or SSEC's mission, serves to support the DA Fellowship in gaining clarity around issues of earning in the DA program. Our vision is to broaden the fellowship-wide understanding of how spiritually sustainable earning fits into DA recovery, encouraging a comprehensive and spiritual approach by working the 12 steps and using the tools of Debtors Anonymous. My name is Julia, and I am a recovering debtor from Austin, Texas. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant us serenity to things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and to know the difference. Our call today will include three speakers who will be recorded for a podcast that will be posted on debtorsanonymous.org website under Fellowship Services and Fellowship Podcasts within a few days. On this call, in keeping with the tradition, please help us to keep the focus on the 12-step program of Debtors Anonymous by leaving out other affiliations, your professions, other philosophies, outside publications, religions, and other 12-step programs. After the speakers, we will stop recording the call for a sharing portion. Anyone wishing to share will have 3 minutes each. This part of the call will not be recorded. All callers have been placed on mute. Press star 6 to unmute only if participating in the call or during the sharing period. All speakers will have 15 minutes, and Grant will be the timekeeper. Grant, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Thank you. Our first speaker is Maya, who will be speaking on her experience, strength, and hope for 15 minutes. Maya, welcome to the call. Would you like any time warning?
Hello, Mike Chuck. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. You know what? I think if I have, or when I have 3 minutes left, that would be perfect.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Maya, you may begin.
Thank you so much. Well, hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Maya. I'm a grateful recovering debtor, and I'm happy to be speaking today. And to be speaking on solvency, come from the sort of spiritually sustainable earning perspective from that angle. And, you know, I jumped at the opportunity to speak today because I feel so connected to my path. I feel very certain right now in my path and in my work because of the work, really, that I've done in DA. And so to focus and double down on, you know, what that's looked like for me, I want to talk about some of the tools and my relationship to them and what it's looked like for me working my DA program so that I could rightfully say, you know, that I'm enjoying solvency as I am in this current point in time. So I started, you know, working DA in May of 2013. And I'm really, it was just the perfect timing, you know. I had heard about DA through a different 12-step fellowship. And, you know, I was craving direct, clear, consistent messaging and healing. I needed healing with my relationship, my spiritual relationship to money. And I was craving that before I even knew DA was a thing. And so once I found out, but this is the beautiful thing. It's so funny about humans, right? Once I found out that DA actually existed, it took me a while to actually bring myself to a meeting. It's like I've heard another fellow say in this fellowship, like, when I found out about something that I knew would work, you know, like the self-saboteur put me actually engaging with it on pause because I knew it worked. I knew it would work, which is really interesting. And so that's actually been, self-sabotage has actually been something that with my DA sponsor, I've looked at a lot, and I've kind of, you know, built up this lens for, you know, being mindful, being careful when self-sabotage behaviors come up, right? And so something that really helps with that, obviously, is working with a sponsor. I think that that is my favorite tool of this. And I want to say, and this is my opinion, and this is based on, you know, my personal story, my personal recovery, but I've heard in the fellowship that, you know, it could be hard to find a sponsor. But I want to counter that and offer that I think it could be hard to really ask for what you want, especially as debtors, especially as under-earners. So furthermore, I think it's just hard for people to ask for sponsorship after, you know, maybe feeling rejected when the first couple of people you asked or the first one person that you asked said no, that they weren't available. So this is just a plug, you know, to keep asking when you don't quite find the right fit, and to just stay focused on your recovery. Right? It's our responsibility, right? It's our own personal responsibility. So making sure that you have that experience of having that attention is really great. And so I've been really lucky in you know, how I've been consistently sponsored by one person who in many, many ways has what I want, and it consistently, you know, pushes me and inspires me. So, you know, I have a sponsor, and, like, I do what she says. Even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it feels unnecessary, you know. So this is something that when I think of how I have solvency today, this is something that I've done. And so much of that has been getting out of my own way, right? Because my best thinking got me to, you know, struggling with debting primarily my time and my energy and myself. I never so much struggled with credit card debt because my mom kind of drilled into me before I went to college that the credit card companies were going to market to me and, you know, do their targeting on me. So just avoid it like the plague. And so I have. And so I don't really have a credit card history, but except for one for like medical care, this one point in time. Beyond that, it's really been focusing on my time and my energy and myself. Now, debting of self, that's been really rich for me to focus on. And what that's led to now is learning how to be very authentic with people, sugarcoat things less, be more direct, things that I was not raised to do in my, you know, alcoholic family home. My job was to really cater to the comfort and the feelings and the needs of my mom and my dad and, you know, other authority figures in my life. So to unlearn that, you know, in my adult years has been painful and it's been long, but, you know, DA's tools, when it talks about specifically, directly, explicitly about money, luckily, you know, obviously it applies to our entire well-being. So that's just like a really string thing for me. Another thing that I'll say is right now I want to be fully transparent. With my past right now, with my roles that I've had, in my jobs and everything, there's definitely like this story. What I mean is, like, I used to be very avoidant of money, and have like low sense of self, sense of confidence in the marketplace. And then I fell in love with sales and the fact that it's a numbers game and the fact that you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You don't have to be the most attractive person in the room. You just got to put yourself out there, and it's a numbers game, and see what you can get and hustle, and earning boosts your confidence. That's what does it for me, right? Obviously, earning plus, you know, the spiritual work, the emotional healing of, you know, past traumas, all that stuff is super necessary. But earning helps all that. I once heard someone say, money doesn't solve all your problems, but money solves your money problem. So, you know, I got to say I agree with that. So, again, that's not a DA slogan, but that's just something that for me personally kind of, you know, that I keep in mind. Because there is that relationship, right, with, like, getting and under-earning. So, with the roles that I've had, once I gave myself permission to actually care about money, that happened when I finally allowed myself the, you know, experience of joining, you know, the fellowship. And I happened to get into sales, and I've tried different roles in that regard. And then I'm also an artist. I'm also a singer-songwriter. And I just want to reach, like, my goal, you know, is to grow closer, if I had to sum it up in three different goals, grow closer to God every day, just in deep, intentional connection with God every day, and also myself, right? And then reach my potential with financial education, and reach my potential in songwriting. So that's just something that I've been able to be in touch with because of this program. And it's actually through sponsorship in this program where I was invited to and given the opportunity to, you know, just be asked by a sponsor, like, hey, step into your identity as an artist. Because before I found good sales jobs and before I knew really what I was going to do, who I wanted to be, how I wanted to show up in my early days in DA, I was avoiding my artwork because I had no confidence in it. I had no idea or direction or contacts. You know, it was looking kind of bleak to me. I'm so grateful to say that is not the case now, but that's how it was, you know, like early 20s. Not really knowing what I'm doing. And so those are my three main goals. And right now, I am actually unemployed. But I think the timing of this, of me talking, you know, in regards to spiritually sustainable earning, as well as staying solvent, so as of the beginning of this month, the end of last month, you know, I was let go from my previous role. And, you know, talking about spiritual health, like the moment that happened, they had a great culture in that regard. So there's no emotional, you know, unhealthiness or dysfunction there. But I still felt such a lift when I got let go. And now what I'm doing, I am in the midst of practicing faith right now in the face of uncertainty with peace in my heart and confidence in myself. So, you know, and mind you, I don't have like a ton of savings that I'm sitting on so I could just chill and kick my feet up. Like, that is not the case. So
my last 3 minutes.
Thank you so much, Grant. I still need to, you know, truly hustle and everything. But the difference this time is that I am not going to just take, you know, and pursue, like, the first couple jobs that, you know, will hire me. Because that used to be my only criteria, really. It's like, okay, will they hire me? Cool, then I'll work there. And that comes from, you know, scarcity. And I'm not judging, just to be very clear, I'm not judging anyone if anyone else on this call or who listens to this call has ever been there. I think that's like a really normal, usual, typical thing, right? Like, hey, I just need a job. Hey, if they take me, cool. Like, my job is to get a job right now, right? And I totally get that. And I've been there. The only thing for me right now is that personally, my gut instincts, because I've done so much work around this and thinking about this, is like, if I don't change my standards, right, I'll end up at another role where it is, you know, spiritually a little crushing. And if I don't, like, switch up the, you know, the standards now, like, when does that happen? Like, now is my opportunity, right, to do that. So I'm just really grateful for this scary opportunity to lean in to my higher power and demonstrate a dependence, a true dependence on God that I've not done before. And so for another tool for, I would say, spiritual solvency, right, to stay in consistent connection with God and keep the spiritual bank full and not get tapped out or debting on that, right, to keep that energy level up, you know, I pray, and this is under, again, the suggestion of my sponsor, you know, to just say, hey, God, you know, I surrender any kind of ideas of who I am, you know, what I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be, or what kind of limited idea I have about myself, right, of what I'm capable of doing. So where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Like, where would you have me? How would you have me? Who do you want me to be? What's my next role? You know, guide me. Give me clear signs. And I will say that for the last role that I've had before I got let go, and I take responsibility for that. Oh, is that my timer?
That's time, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I'll just wrap up by saying this is a day-by-day thing. This is a daily program, and so is solvency, so is maintaining that financially, spiritually, emotionally, energetically. And so I just wish for everyone on the call to, you know, prioritize their serenity and their sanity as they see fit for them today. And thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for sharing, Maya. Our second speaker is Kleena, who will be speaking on her strength and hope for 15 minutes. Kleena, welcome to the call. First, would you like any time warnings?
I would like a 3-minute time warning also, please. That sounds perfect.
Okay, great. You may begin.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. I'm Kleena. I'm a debtor and under earner and grateful to be here. Really grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me speak. First of all, I just want to say I would not want to go to through life or fill in the blank without Debtors Anonymous. I love this program. It definitely saved my life. So I'm going to share about my path to solvency. I came into DA in May 92. I had an art degree, a BFA, and I had just completed a commission, my first commission, and I only made $1,500 that year, and At that time, where I live in Austin, DA was very small. I started attending meetings. I tried to do my numbers, attempted PRGs and PRMs. I did pressure relief meetings. I had several for myself, but I had a regular pressure relief meeting that I did for another person. One of the early suggestions that was given to me in DA, besides keeping my numbers and attending meetings, was a suggestion to get a job. And I surrendered my artistic self-unemployment. I was really struggling to find any work at that time. And I was in several other fellowships, and I was a single parent with two small children, recovering one day at a time. Some of my early earning jobs were substitute teaching, house cleaning, any jobs that I had with my program friend littermates, random things that they had going, I would join in on. The substitute teaching, you know, to surrender my art as a form of work, that was a big surrender. Just, you know, higher power was going to be in charge of work and money. And this was me letting go and taking direction. I was tutoring math, and I was enjoying that. I enjoyed more one-on-one work with students. So I started looking at getting a math certificate to teach math in schools, and I started taking classes. I just want to talk briefly about what my debting under earning behavior looked like before DA. I wouldn't open my mail. I wouldn't pay my bills even when I had the money. I debted for medical and auto repairs. I was vague. I had no clarity. I lived in fear and terror around money. And like our under earning pamphlet says, that my under-earning put me at risk of debting. So coming into solvency, you know, my path to solvency was just a process of surrender, 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 next right thing, next right thing, next right thing. I ended up in, I'm not going to go into my story about that. It wasn't my idea to end up in design engineering. I did look at the master certificate, and someone in one of my calculus classes had suggested that I go into engineering. And my answer to him when he said that to me was, I'm not smart enough. Like, it came out of my mouth. And working a program of recovery, I was like, well, what would your higher power say about that? I spent a semester acting as if maybe I would go to engineering school. And I also followed up on the math certificate and looked at the classes I needed to take to get my math certificate. And basically, I needed to take the same 10 classes to go back to engineering school, to return to college for engineering school. I will say that, you know, I really felt like the amount of time and energy going to engineering school would take would mean I would never do art again. And that felt quite heartbreaking to me. But I actually then did act as if, and I decided to go to engineering school. And when I got into engineering school, my first semester in engineering school, one of my professors offered me a job, basically combining my creative skills with technology to earn. And even though I really wasn't making more money than I had been prior to that doing other work, I was clear that this opportunity would afford growing skills that could maybe earn me way more than I was earning. So again, these were not my ideas. It was just a process of next right thing, next right thing. So I have had a 24-year career in engineering design. It's quite unconventional for women to be designers, especially in mechanical design. I have gone through 4 layoffs with DA. Again, I wouldn't want to do anything without DA. You know, there was always higher power involved. You know, when I went through a layoff in 2001, I received a severance, and there was a certain financial settlement. And, you know, I immediately went in to see about getting another job with the Career Center, because I was in engineering school at the time, part-time. And and by the way, I never debted to go to school. I worked this program around not debting and getting my education. And my employers started paying for my education. I was able to help a partner whose mother was dying at the time. And have this, I was still on the books as an employee, and I had insurance, and able to help support her as her mother died in 2001. DA saved my life and brought an abundant life. You know, God's will versus my will, I believe God's will is easy and things flow, or higher power's will, things flow. My will is much harder. This program helped me get clarity and live within my means one day at a time. And I often can't see and don't recognize the abundance in my life. As a young single mom, I came to realize what a blessing it was to have 2 healthy kids who are now adults, both married, living and working, and having lives of their own. Our beautiful literature and the new 12, 12, and 12 talks about DA being the disease of, I call it the disease of not enough. And our literature says that that the disease manufactures a sense of impoverishment. I grew up with 2 parents. I don't want to talk too much about that. Messages from my mother that were continuous were, we cannot afford it. Marry a rich man, and your father's a bad earner and can never do enough, and I'm contemptuous of him. And I just want to say I'm addressing this last message right now in my step work with a challenging, you know, one of those relationships that talks about in the big book that bring us recurring trouble, that for some reason everyone I work with is an agent of, everyone is an agent of my higher power, and especially triggers our spiritual opportunities. The messages from my father about money were never talk about money. That was like a cardinal sin, though he didn't define things in terms of that. Never ask what people earn, and dad has all the money and power. I'm just all over the place, but here, I did write notes down, so I'm just reading them. I'm sorry. Recovery and 12-step work, I believe, is a form of spiritual archaeology. My job is to just show up and do the next right thing. That is a really big thing I learned in DA. The tools of the program that I really rely on, and the steps, I have to work the steps with a sponsor. That's where the change happens. pressure relief meetings, record keeping meetings, spending plan, action plan, DA and AA literature, business meetings, service, awareness, and sponsorship. I use all of those tools. So I became fully financially self-supporting. I will say I had some family money that was making up for my under-earning before 1998. So I came in 92, and I basically worked as quickly and as hard as I could to support myself and my two children on what I earned. At one of my my PRG in 1998, my PRG team told me that I didn't have enough money to take classes in the spring of 1999, and if I did, I was going to debt. They said I needed to earn $17 an hour. Now, by the end of that year, I was earning that. But prior to that, I went through another, I went through a layoff. You know, I went to an employer, I asked for more money, I went through a layoff. And when they told me that, I felt very sorry for myself, and I thought they were crazy. Because at that time, I was making $11.50 an hour, which was more money than I'd ever made. But,
Clay, 3 minutes left.
Wow, I'm so close. Okay, I get into the details and I get lost. Anyway, I just want to say that how this unfolded just continues to be miraculous. The things I learn and I continue to have to do one day at a time is to keep my numbers, use a spending plan, pray, work the steps, listen for God, higher power, and higher power can be anywhere and everywhere. Show up, do the next right thing, do what I can. Things I have to do a lot right now is to pause. I attend phone meetings every day just because I need – the meetings just change my thinking. You know, I still struggle with that not enough. And I get a daily reprieve, and the phone meetings really help me. So I have to pause and pray for others. I pay my bills, I pay my taxes without resentment and mostly without fear. I set aside money in virtual and physical envelopes for vacation, education, repairs, maintenance, auto, home. I save for my vision. I have a studio envelope, furniture envelope, I save for retirement, and I reconcile my finances with my partner since we live together and purchase food and household items together. I've been keeping clear spending and earning records since 1997. I have separate bank accounts for personal and business. I had regular pressure relief meetings from 1996, and my last PRM was January 30, 2020, and I need to reschedule that and do that, you know, in the Zoom way during the pandemic. I believe surrender means getting out of the way. My higher power has something in mind that is so abundant I can't even fathom or entertain what it could possibly be. I'm just really grateful to be fully employed. I got another raise this year. I've been working remote since March. I took care of a parent this past year, and I really, she's alive and well. And doing that service for my family and her was a result of recovery, but it also was spiritually and physically unsustainable. So anyway, that's my time. And I'll just wrap up. Thank you. I hear the timer. I just want to say I've been doing my vision work daily since 2009. And, my full-time work supports my creative growth. And I have support from supervisors and coworkers. Anyway, I hope that's been of service to someone. And I'm really, really grateful.
What is your name? I'm sorry.
Kalina.
What is your name? Karina?
Kalina.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Kleena. Thank you so much for sharing. Our third speaker is Robert A. Robert, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Great. So Robert will be sharing, will be speaking on his experience, Strength and Hope, for 15 minutes. Welcome to the call. Would you like any time warning?
Please let me know when we hit 7 minutes and 3 minutes, please.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you
so much,
Clint.
Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, I'm very grateful to be here. On Sunday mornings, I take long runs, and back in another life, I used to be a marathoner, and in that other life, that's when I was, everything was very, very different in that other life, including my earning. As I was running this morning, I thought about, very much about, what my share would be like today. And so much of my early running experiences and the life that I used to have when I used to run like this was reflective of the kinds of shares that I used to have with people at that time, particularly about my career. Generally speaking, I work in the art and entertainment industry, and that's very a broad description of the work. And that industry, or our industry, it's generally accomplished-based, ego-based, and frankly, it's entitlement-based. The particular end of the industry that I'm in, it almost celebrates excess. It celebrates excess of debauchery people who are making millions of dollars and driving nice cars and kind of getting everything they want. When I just started out and started looking at that industry, probably as early as a teenager, I would see things and imagine that successful artists don't have to pay for anything. You know, they're always comped stuff. They don't have to buy dinner. You know, people are always giving them stuff. And it generally was very attractive. It's in recovery terms, it's an intoxicating industry to get in. Another piece of background that comes along with that is some of my family background. I grew up in a very poor sub-poverty home and in a very poor part of town. And all we would talk about as far as having any kind of version of success when you're growing up that poor is particularly people of color. Growing up that poor, because there's so lack of opportunity, we would just say, hey, look, if we could become either athletes or entertainers, then that's what is going to take us out of this poverty lifestyle. So with that as a background, I started to seek what kind of career I was going to have. So I just want to take a pause there, because as I really looked at the subject matter of today, spiritually sustaining earning, I thought, well, I think I'd better look at what spirit I was earning in order to figure out if that's something I want to sustain. And as I ran this morning, I started to think about all of those things that I used to say when I used to run marathons. And it was so accomplished-based. You would talk to your friends, this is how fast I'm running. Oh, look what I accomplished. This is how many miles I ran. This is how many races I did this year. And it's no longer like that. It just doesn't feel that way anymore. Because now it feels like every step, if I could just take one more step and sustain how good a run feels now. That's what it feels like. And that's really what my life feels like and my earning feels like. So when I looked at the early parts of my career and how everything was so accomplished-based and ego-based, I look at it now and I see how different it is. And I really had to kind of reframe what was the spirit of my earning. So the very first thing that I really want to address is, instead of looking for fame and a lot of money and a lot of entitlement, I look at my career now and what it's formulated into is really nurturing people who are creatives. And when people are creative, that's really just one of the most rewarding and spiritual ways to earn money. And if I was to make a career surrounded by those creative people, then I really would have accomplished something in my lifetime. And that's the main thing that DA and BDA brought to me. I joined this fellowship in 1992. I would put a date of my solvency. There's a little bit of not being clear about it. I would say it's the fall of 1992, probably late August, early September 1992 is what I would put a solvency date at. What my life was like, because I was so much into the entitlement side of it, as I pursued my career, I got into heavy school debt. And that was probably the main one. There was a lot of school debt to get into this side of the industry that I'm in. After I did all of that school debt, I didn't want to work for somebody else, so I went to work for myself. I assumed that one of the things we were supposed to have, just like any other business, are startup costs. So I went into heavy debt starting up my business. And for somebody who doesn't have this disease, that would be healthy. But somebody who does have this disease, it is way easier to start piling on a significant amount of business debt, which is what I did. I spent a lot of time racking it up and, you know, picking up the tab for things, flying around to go and do deals, and thinking that there was going to be some magic payoff and there was going to be some big deal and some big client that was going to take me up over the top and wipe out all of this money, wipe out all of the debt. And when it finally came to a crash in 1992 and I finally came around to it, it was a pretty bad space. I was, you know, there was not just the financial side, but I debted in every way. There were people that I had relationships with. I was in a marriage at the time, and my partner and I, who are no longer together, but we have a wonderful relationship now. There was a lot of strain in our household. There were people that I owed money to. I owed back rent. And I don't have to go. I'm not going to stay there. I will say there was a bad place. What it did turn into, though, and where I am now is really so significantly different, because there were a couple of three quick instances that I'm going to bring up. One of the things that I did was I understood what secured debt meant. So even if I borrowed $5, I would give somebody something of value. Like I'd give them a $50 pen and say, look, hang on to this pen. When I give you the $5 back, you can give me my pen back. I little by little learned what secured debt was. The other thing that I did is I sold stuff. My kids, I wanted my kids to have Christmas one year. I had two particularly very nice guitars, sold them, and that was one of the greatest Christmases we ever had. Another thing that we did is I got a job. And it was a part-time job. I was working in a high-rise, working in my business, and I would shut it down on Fridays and go work weekends at a retail job. It was super humbling, but it really just so opened up my eyes to...
Robert, 7 minutes.
Thank you so much. To what I would do, and I would do anything to feel free and to really understand recovery. I do it all. Meetings are so important to me. I get so much from meetings. The shares that I get from meetings are really fantastic. I give and get sponsorship. That's taken me a long way. I have a sponsor right now who's sponsoring me into retirement, and I'm learning so much about what healthy and clear retirement looks like. PRGs are amazing. I love doing phone calls and taking calls from people. And the literature goes such a long, long way, and I can take it and use it on a day-to-day basis. So with this career goal to be surrounded by and share my life with creative people who have similar outlooks as mine, my version of spiritually sustaining earning is kind of what it is today, and it's nice. Instead of earning being accomplished-based and having target numbers being able to show off, you know, like the plaques on the wall and photos of me with celebrities and doing things like red carpet events. I do all those red carpet events. I drive the car of my dreams. I live in a home that is just it's great. It's sustainable. My kids love me, and I earn. And it's the spiritual part of it is earning now is we've got. I'm going to have a whole bunch of ease here, but it's without effort. And I'm earning more than I've ever earned before. And not working as hard to get it. The huge part of it is I'm earning without ego. And I don't have to go out and buy stuff to impress myself or anyone else, and certainly not higher power. I earn now without expectation. I used to have this expectation that the client that came in the door was going to be the big client, or the deal that we had was going to be the big deal. And the deals are no longer, I don't have to have that expectation anymore. As a matter of fact, I spoke to somebody that I was negotiating with recently, and I told that person, you don't even have to expect me to be on the next call, because I said this person I'm representing is so big, they hire and fire representatives all the time. And the lawyer on the other side was going, boy, I sure hope it's you, because it's a pleasure working with you, and it's just nice to not have an expectation of this big cash out and payout because the deal is so big, or because the client is so big, and the press is going to be so big because we did what we did. I certainly go through life a lot more without entitlement. And entitlement used to be all over the place. I don't take freebies to anything. I don't go to free concerts. I don't go to free shows. I was just recently, somebody recently offered up going to the Super Bowl, and I thought, are you out of your mind? Who wants to go and sit around, you know, a stadium full of people with COVID? You know, I mean, I don't. You know, it's just not there. It used to be there, and it's no longer there.
Robert, 3 minutes.
Perfect. In relative closing, what used to be such a ego-driven and non-spiritually driven way to earn money and to deal with people who are wrapped up in that non-spiritual way of earning money, this goal of mine to be around people who are creative, who want to be around creative people, who want to be around people who have similar goals and outlooks on their life. That's exactly what I have in my life now. It's so spiritual and it's so amazing. I was working on something the other day, and the person on the other side said, all we have to offer in this industry is fame and a lot of money. And the person that you're working with right now doesn't need our money, and doesn't want to be famous. And he says, what's left to negotiate with? And I said, maybe you can ask him what he wants. And that's all I've ever wanted, and that's what's keeping me around and making me understand that my spiritually sustaining way of earning is being around people who are of like mind, people who are like you, like every single person on this call who have really committed their lives and committed their earning to something that's spiritual, to something that means something to them, and is something that they'll be able to pass on to other people. I'm very grateful for being on this call, and I very much appreciate being able to share the little bit that I know about life and what I've learned and continue to learn from DA and BDA. Thank you so much.
Julia, we can't hear you.
Hello? Julia, hello? I can't hear you.
Julia, are you there? We can't hear you. You might be on mute. Okay, great.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry, there was a problem with the phone. All right. Thank you so much, Robert. Thank you to all our speakers today.
Can we have everyone else mute themselves besides Julia, please? Thank you.
Thank you to all our speakers. We will now end the recording and have our personal sharing period. Anyone speaking during this time will not be recorded.
Hi, this is Tashira. I'd like to share.
Okay, we just need to end the recording first.